You may recall being a little child, specifically remembering a neighbor, a grandparent, or an uncle who, when you went and knocked on their front door, the neighbor, or when you visited their house, or when you came over, they came over for a visit, they had gifts or treats at the ready to share with you. When we'd go visit my grandmother, she had a special drawer, but we could also run next door, knock on the door, and they would give us something too. Can we envision how a little child who has never met their uncle, who comes to visit the house bearing gifts for the children, may actually be hiding behind mommy at first, but seeing the gift, cautiously toddles up to the uncle to receive the gift and becomes focused on that gift. Too young to know to say thank you, but everyone can see the curiosity and joy awakened in the child. So if we can envision that, we probably know what happens the next time the uncle visits. Right? That same child may be looking out the window this time, waiting to see that face, and anxiously anticipating another gift. Though as time goes by, the child will be taught to show appreciation and thanks with words, the uncle does not provide the gifts so that he can be thanked. He provides the gifts for the sheer joy of giving to his nephew. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray to our great Father, you won't find a single word of thanks in the prayer. But what you will find is the proper acknowledgement of who our provider is. Obviously, the focus of the prayer from God's perspective was that we understand and acknowledge our Father, who is holy and sovereign, and who is our sole provider, forgiver, and protector. Real quickly, we'll just review that short prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In recalling again this child who receives gifts from his uncle, we also know that as the child matures, he learns to express his appreciation for gifts by giving thanks. And as he matures further, he learns the joy himself of giving to others, just as the uncle enjoyed giving to his nephew. That's all nice and good. But as we heard last Sabbath, gratitude can be more difficult if we are in the middle of struggle or even foresee trials ahead. This besides the fact that we still must overcome our own selfishness and our greed to one extent or another. So last Sabbath, we also learned of some great tools for developing and establishing an ongoing attitude of gratitude given to us by Mr. Martins. But what if I told you there is a tried and true way to develop an ongoing attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness? What if there is a way to more easily remember the grace and gifts we receive daily? What if there is a way to stay focused on thankfulness even when we face serious trials? After all, how useful is God's provision of food if we have no appetite due to illness or stress? Is it exciting to the little child who received from his uncle a toy He already has three of stored in his closet. And yet, is the gift any less given? Right? There's reasons our attitudes can go awry, even when receiving gifts. Our greatest enemy in life is death. We can refer to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 26. And this is why it might cross people's minds who see death on the horizon, such a thought as, if I could just see my grandchild graduate high school, then I would be satisfied. Or, if I can just make it to my 60th anniversary or my 90th birthday, then I would have no complaints. Interestingly, in taking on such a state of mind, guess what can happen when you actually reach such a milestone? You might just create a new one. And living for the wonderful milestones that they are, you might be lose focus on the long term, or even be tempted to compromise eternal promises for short-term gains. So what if I also told you, besides being equipped with thanksgiving through trials, you can become immune to deadly compromise and therefore remain focused on the kingdom of God? Let's turn to chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I'm turning there so you can. We'll read in verse 50, and I think we'll go through 58. Verse 50, "Now this I say, brethren," Paul writing to the church in Corinth, "that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery," therefore it's no longer a mystery to you and me, now that he's telling us, "we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" And we can refer back to 1 Corinthians 15, 26 verses before again. This powerful enemy of humans. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God." Here's some thanksgiving. "Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Here is this promise of eternal life, salvation from death, something to be thankful for. Paul, after describing the trials, even facing death, that he and his co-workers were experiencing in preaching the gospel, when he was speaking to Corinth again, or writing to Corinth in the second book of Corinthians, we go to chapter 4, he writes, "So then death is working in us, but life in you." They were struggling. They were even facing being stoned or imprisoned, therefore facing the possibility of death. "So then death is working in us, but life in you, because the gospel we preach to you is offering you life in Christ. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. This is a state of thanks, a state of mind that goes beyond what is also wonderful and good, to thank God for the very breath we breathe right now, for the food that's at the table, for anything you can think of that, quite frankly, is passing, is fleeting. But this is permanent. This is a thanksgiving we can have that is always going to be there, that's actually given to us in our hands by faith. Paul is remembering the faith and love of the brethren in Colossae, and he writes to them in Colossians. Oh, I found it. Chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm going to go ahead and skip down to verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father. And this is actually in skipping. He's now saying that they will give thanks. They will, the people of Colossae, will give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And we can move on down to chapter 2 and verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. You know, it's not, yay, Jesus has saved me, and now I'll go do whatever I want. We walk according to the way Jesus exemplified. Therefore, receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Believed by many to have also been written by Paul, this same kind of admonition is made in Hebrews. And I might note here that this word thanks or thank is only found in Paul's writings after the Gospels, except for Revelation. Revelation is mentioned three times by John, but it's about the angels, the angelic realm being thankful for the Lord. This is for us, the brethren. Paul writes to us, and we think Paul wrote Hebrews. We're not sure. But here in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12, therefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gate. You know, the Hebrews were very knowledgeable of the law of God and all of the old covenant requirements. And so He was able to speak to them very intelligently on all of the facets of the law. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the new one to come, you know, the Jerusalem from above. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. I gave a message a while back about thanksgiving was not a requirement, but it was an imperative. God never made people give Him thanks. He had a thank offering with the lambs. You know, there was a specific protocol for giving a thank offering, but He didn't say, you got to do it on this day or at this holy time. It was a free will offering. It was when you wanted to give thanks, this is how you give it. Okay, so here this has been, this sacrifice, as the Hebrews would have understood sacrifice, is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. When we are little children, we are inclined to see what is right in front of us. Maybe when we're adults too. We may recognize sources for our joy, like an uncle who visits bearing gifts. But as we grow, we learn that we need the provision of God. And hopefully, we develop a blessed attitude of thanksgiving for that provision, everything that we receive every day. What is modeled in that prayer Christ gave to the disciples. Maturity is understanding God's ultimate provision, though, to cover our sins through the blood of Christ, to then someday raise us up, incorruptible. And this is the greatest tool for us to learn the wholeness of thankfulness. You know, we learn to have thanks, and we practice ways to remember to be thankful in our daily lives. What I have gone through in my life is I would lose that thanks because of trials and struggles. And it wasn't until when it got really bad that I forgot, I remembered, I should say. But Kelly, you are here to be in God's kingdom. You are not here to have this or that or experience all the joys of this life. It's great when you can, and give God thanks when you do, and give God thanks even for the trials because of what is coming. If you always have that in mind, no matter what is happening to you, you can be encouraged and strengthened, and you will not forget to thank God. You won't, because you have the kingdom of God in your hands. I will finish with this little bit from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.